Loving God, you give us your word and you ask us to read it and to study it and then to understand it. And from the understanding, you then ask us to practice it. So we ask your blessing on this process in us as we discover Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, where he is today, and what it is that he expects of us in the present. And we ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of us wrote a letter to somebody we didn't know? I suppose that when you do that, it's more like a letter of reference. You explain who you are. And when Paul writes to the church in Rome, it's not like the other letters that he wrote because he had been those other places. Writing to people, he didn't establish the congregation, he didn't have anything to do with the congregation, and they didn't hardly know who he was. So in this letter to the Romans, Paul has his understanding of the gospel, and he's going to go to Rome a West young man. He wants to go to Spain, but he has of the Roman congregation behind him the journey. And so we have this lovely letter from Paul to the church in Rome. And he begins by listing his credentials. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. He has come to try to build faith, to separate himself from the big task. The gospel's all about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the royal in Jewish understanding, the Messiah promised by the prophets and now designated, this is Paul's writing, designated the Paul's understanding, it's the resurrection that sets Jesus apart as the Son of God. Resurrection, Jesus is like a prophet. You know, there are many prophets in the Bible. Resurrection places all the prophets who ever came to him. There's mercy and forgiveness and grace, a place of honor in the kingdom of God. And I would say that includes St. Andrews and Niagara on the Lake. I know this isn't quite, especially not today. To the Roman congregation. And the message that Paul gives to that congregation is that they don't need to be worried anymore. God has shown his stuff. God is with us today. He's with us tomorrow. He is always with us, and we are safe in the hands of God forever. Now, Matthew. Aha. I said to someone coming in to the church today, I'm going to ask you to put on your seatbelts because Matthew is that kind of a gospel. You're going to have to do that because it's a pretty exciting piece of literature. Down to write his gospel. Template is Mark. He's got a collection of he borrows from, and he's got his own material. And he's busily writing all this down. It's interesting to see that of who Jesus continues to grow in time. And it's growing for, this is 20 years after Paul writes Romans. 20 years later, of who Jesus is. Because, as I said to you, Paul says Jesus becomes or is designated. Mark says, no. He did that. It's his baptism. And Luke and Matthew say, no, that's not quite right. You've got to go back to moment that he's born. And then you Jesus is same stuff, same person. You have the Trinity. Jesus Christ continues to grow in the experience of those who witnessed him, learned from him, and wrote the pages of the New Testament. Matthew is written probably about 75 AD. It's written in the North Country. I'm calling it that. It's more like a refugee camp where the people of Aleppo are going to be going, if they ever get out. Refugee camp. They're all kicked out. And the Romans did quite a job. They destroyed the city and they burned the place down. Does that sound like Niagara on the Lake? Wasn't this church burned down? I think it was nicely rebuilt. Scattered exiles. Christians and Jews, or let's call it one, in this community. That community going on. Because purity of our faith, and don't mix us up with Jesus person, because he's not anyone famous for us. He's not the Christian people in the same community. Is the Messiah, and we believe in him, and we think Jesus with a Christian understanding of today and tomorrow. Duking it out in the tents and the fires and the cold north of Jerusalem. And this is the community to which Gentiles want in. It's like that commercial. You see that commercial on TV? The little guy and big guy, and it's an espresso. They want in. Well, the Gentiles are saying, want to be Christians. Jews in this Christian community, equal. Equal. Don't look down on us because of our race. We're part of God's people. It's what Jesus said. So, now are you ready? This is called the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is in this way. Did you think begin at the beginning? Of course I should begin beginning. That's verse 18. I just skipped over 17 verses in Matthew's Gospel. Well, you know I'm not going to do that. Not read today. Sounds like a lot of boring reading. Gone through it. You got to watch four women. Normally, when the Old Testament does the begatting story, and you can read all about it in First Chronicles, it goes on 9 chapters. It looks like the only man has been begatting. Well, I'm sorry, but biblical times, they don't see it the way we do it. In these there's four, count them, four women. Four of them. Teenagers here, this is adult material. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Can you believe it? Now, we could be here all day if I gave you a complete rundown on the stories. Did what they do. To survive. Survival. In biblical times too. For one of them, if the king takes an interest in you, what's a woman supposed to do? Even if she is married and the king takes an interest in her? And what about others? Temple. On. One of those women is a foreigner. In fact, for that matter, two are. And Rahab Even if I didn't mention Bathsheba and Ruth, you knew I was going to mention Rahab. She runs a miracle until the spies, the Israeli spies, come. And she welcomes them, takes them in, hides them, delivers them. And guess what? She marries Salmon. Boaz, and Boaz is the father of Obed, and Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of King David. These four women are part of the family tree of Jesus. It's all in Matthew's gospel, and we could have skipped over it quite safely, right? Now, verses 18, Mr. Kennedy, but get on with a very pleasant story about shepherds and sheep, right? I told you this gospel. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place. Simple narrative. Mary and Joseph. School, and the other was studying pediatrics. You know, did they own property? No announcement. And Joseph. And Mary and Joseph. There's no between them. Present, right? But in this time, this is pretty heavy duty stuff. Who's more surprised? Mary? According to the story, Mary is very surprised. And Joseph, it's not so much that he's surprised. I think he's insulted. And he wants to know, well, who's the father? And Joseph, according to the text, is a good man. And a just man. Good news for Mary, divorce. Quiet divorce. And that's what he's planning until God steps in the situation. Typical of that's what the story is all about. God steps into the situation. And so, the angel is commissioned in a dream to have a heart-to-heart talk to Joseph. And he says in the dream, look, lawful wedded wife, and she's going to have a son, and you are going to call him Jesus. You are going to act from now on. You're part of God's purpose because Jesus has been sent here to save his people. And Joseph, from the dream, angel told him to do. As his father, Joseph, Jesus. Now I don't want to take away anything. Or the Bible. Tell you any mysteries about. They expected everybody would know. You know, the Messiah is coming. I mean, if they knew, these guys are Gentiles from. They know, and the star is there, the experts in Jerusalem will know. Experts are good for. Well, guess what? These aren't the smartest. And the clerics are separate from Herod. And I don't want to give away too much of the story. It goes on that these wise men go to the manger. I'm sorry, that's Luke's gospel. They go to where Joseph and Mary are and where Jesus is born. And they present unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then Herod is really ticked, really ticked. And he asks for children under the age of 2 to be massacred. Jesus matched him. Their story. Journey into Egypt. That's it. Out of Egypt, just like Moses. Jesus. Or turn it around, Jesus is greater than Moses. And this is all coming up in the weeks ahead. How is this story going to end, you ask me? Where are we headed? I mean, look, we've gone through the action with the four ladies. A massacre of infants. When I was younger, but the scene so while I copied the pageant from left that scene out. I didn't like the mass of the innocents. Part of Matthew's story. Where is this story headed? I suggest to you that you should tune in the weeks to come here on Matthew's Gospel. So in closing, the Christmas message from Matthew, you're not alone. We're not alone. We're never alone. God is with us today, tomorrow, always. The Gospel is good news that God cares, that God loves us. Good news in person. So you're in good hands. There is no reason to worry or to fear anything. Let us pray.